Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF. This week, we invite you to join us in the classroom of theology and secular psychology. Let's listen in as Dr. David Pallison discusses a case study of someone described as having low self-esteem. We will hear part one of the class now and return next week for the second half of this lecture.
Jimmy is a sufferer from low self-esteem. He's 25 years old. He is single. He is a high school grad, barely. He's had a series, over the last 8 years, he's had a series of, working, pumping gas, little bit of doing auto repair, but he actually has never gotten fully certified in that. He has never made a successful kind of relationship with a female. He's had a string of failures there, a couple of kind of sleazy one-night stands along the way. He is depressed. He puts himself down. He feels like a failure. He says, I'm so stupid. I always fail. I just can't cut it. My life is miserable. A lot of the typical patterns of thought, feeling, self-statement, things you say about yourself, concentrating on your weaknesses, being afraid of trying new things, living in a very narrow world because of fear of breaking out of it, that I'm going to fail, lying awake at night agonizing about how could he have said that and how could he have been so stupid, and that girl seemed really interested in him, and then he made a really dumb joke and she kind of turned her nose up and made her excuses and bagged out of the situation. Why could I do that? Feeling anxious about expressing his thoughts in groups, worrying about what people think about him, feeling unsure of himself and inadequate, always thinking that he's to blame when things go wrong, living by other people's values to try to get them to like him and to be pleased with him, spending his life, precious time with destructive people. His social milieu is a bunch of guys, and they are, you could probably predict the sort of guys they are. It's a Motorhead community. A bunch of guys for whom the values are being able to fix cars, hold liquor, talk rough, boast about conquests of girls, make money, listen to music, go hunting. Jimmy, even in his social community, he's a bit of a failure. For example, he can't hold his liquor. And it's an interesting that he takes his cues off this social group, these guys, this macho bunch of hunters and Motorhead type guys. But when he drinks too much, he's the kind of guy that pukes in his shoes and everybody laughs at him and he does stupid things and falls down and they mock him. You know, so his best friends actually mock him. And at one level, the very people he then takes his cues off of are reinforce this self-destructive cycle. He has these very unrealistic goals, things he expects of himself that he ought to be or should be able to attain. And then he's always disappointed. Life never works out the way that he wants to. That entire list of things gets the explanatory label, Jimmy suffers from or has low self-esteem. And that's such revealing language, isn't it? Suffers from or has. It says about them that this is the reason for all those things. But that is one of the things from biblical thinking, you realize, you know, you could just as easily put low self-esteem as one of those, you know, the feeling that you're a louse in there, and say that your problem is that you worry about what people think of you, therefore, or your problem is that you suffer from hanging around with people who are losers who wreck your life, therefore, you do all this. But typically, the way the low self-esteem construct works is that it is the organizing principle for all that sort of thing, all the different ways that your life's a big fat zero and you can never do anything right. There are other aspects of his life. Obviously his concerned, caring, helper, friend, pastor, parent, whatever role was yours to try to speak into his life or help him. There are other things that you see. There is a pattern in its own right is a pattern of heavy drinking. There's a pattern of immorality that is huge in his mental life and is less in his behavioral life simply because he doesn't get the opportunity to act on it, but there's no checks on immorality. There are all sorts of elements of just low-grade abiding resentment. He's a man with an anger problem. He's a man with a bitterness problem. And those don't tend to as much come in the, you know, they are works of the flesh. They don't tend to come into the gaze of saying that he suffers from low self-esteem, but we're able to look more broadly. These are genuine problems in their own right, as well as the comparing yourself with others and brooding on your failures and, you know, taking your cues off of people who are destructive and choosing companions who are not very helpful and so forth. And there's some of the obvious things emotionally, behaviorally, cognitively that one would see playing out in Jimmy's life. Jimmy lives in a world of significant events and influences. I'll particularly stress the ones that will be singled out within the analytic of his low self-esteem. One of the things that is a reality is that his parents are negative to him. They are not happy with what he's like. Now, from his point of view, his parents are nitpicking. From his point of view, his parents make unfair comparisons between him and his older brother, who's the family star, as it were. And maybe he's right. You know, I didn't know his parents, but one way or the other, his parents are, from Jimmy's point of view, they are unpleasable people. He cannot do right in their eyes. One other factor, crucial within his family setting, is that he has a brother, Bobby. Bobby is 35. Bobby is married. Bobby has 3 kids. Bobby is an engineer. Bobby went to college. Bobby got a master's. Bobby's the family star, you know. And you know, you have no reason to doubt that when Jimmy says that his dad will talk, you know, if someone asks his father, and he's overheard these conversations, you know, how are your kids doing? He'll immediately launch into just raving about all the things going on with Bobby, and you know, 10 minutes of glowing praise and appreciation. And then if the next question is, well, and how's Jimmy doing? Well, you know, Jimmy. You know, Jimmy can read those cues. He knows. And Bobby's the star in a world in which Jimmy is the loser. And that's an objective fact within this family. You know, here's someone who's climbing all the right ladders, and here's someone who's lying in a heap at the bottom of the right ladders and is climbing all the wrong ladders. So it, those sorts of dynamics are there. He's got a peer culture that I mentioned earlier that has a set of values. Those values are oriented around cars, drinking, sexual conquest, money, hunting, that sort of thing. And the value, whether it's the values incarnated in his brother that his parents praise, or whether it's the values incarnated in his peer culture that they praise, that they aspire to, Bobby actually is a loser, right? According to all the ladders by which life in his universe is weighed. That's a huge given. We could certainly, if we were going to think even more widely about Jimmy, you know, we would look at various aspects of cultural values that may be more or less incarnated in his peer culture or in his parental culture, but also wider and larger in terms of what are the goals of life and what is the meaning of pleasure and what defines a valid person and, you know, what level of material success constitutes you being valid. So there's all sorts of cultural values that would be part of the larger picture. We'll leave those in the background for now. And, you know, his immediate experience, he's running up against the values as they are particularly incarnated within the family and the peer setting, although he gets a lot of his views of women and such from television and so forth. This is a real person, right? This is a man in need. He's a 25-year-old going absolutely nowhere, and for all kinds of reasons, some good and some bad, he is a wreck. He's a mess, and he's depressed, and he feels like a failure, and he knows it, and his life is a zero, and it's going nowhere. And the kind of explanation that he gets, sometimes from some friends or people in the family who've been to college, taken a psychology class, or they watch Oprah, or they've read a self-help book. I mean, he's not a reader. He's not going to be reading that stuff. But this is the kind of analytic that is given to explain why all this is, that all these things are in a fundamental sense compensatory. Here is your problem, and in trying to compensate for feeling so bad about yourself, you do think and feel all this variety of other things that are so dismal. That comment, my nutshell summary of that is that is a description masquerading as an explanation. You're going to find a lot of those, right? Pop culture street level. And what you will often find at the street, and you do find it at the high psychology as well, you find descriptions masquerading as explanations, because this comment could just as easily be just one more item in the checklist of things. You know, all low self-esteem means is you feel like crud. And that's only one more description. It's not an explanation. As we look at Jimmy's life, where does all this come from? Okay, how do we make sense of it? And certainly we don't not pay attention to things going on in his world, you know? And we take note of values incarnated in culture, in parents, in people, we take note of those things as certainly factors. They are nurture factors, right? They are efficient cause factors, but they aren't final cause factors. And so we look at Jimmy, and when you take it apart, it's very straightforward in terms of the kinds of things that fundamentally drive Jimmy. And one of the ways I like to think about how does one understand the operations of the human heart as it gets dislocated from the living God is thinking about it from a number of simultaneous perspectives that all come at the same thing from different angles. From one angle, we could say that his problem is the problem of unbelief, right? Unbelief in that he lives in a universe that is a vacuum when it comes to the living God. There's no personality in his world. There's no person. There's nobody he's accountable to except his own self-esteem, except what his dad thinks about him, except whether he's able to hold his liquor next Friday night and whether he gets laughed at or the humor is positive humor. So he lives in a world that our word for that, when you live in a world that has been evacuated of a covenant maker and keeper, as he lives in unbelief. From another angle, we could say that he, and this is clearly so in, quote, cases of low self-esteem, is that the form that takes, you know, wherever there's a vacuum, other things fill it. So unbelief is never just by itself. Unbelief voids God, and then other things fill in the vacuum. So clearly he's a man ruled by fear of man. And he's ruled by fear of man in some very obvious sorts of ways. He takes his cues off of what his peers value. He half rails against and half feels like a failure against the things his parents value. His conscience, the way he organizes his reality, is structured by other people. Other people are the eyes to whom he looks, whom he tries to please, whom he tries to, whether those other people are buddies or girls. And so it's fear of man in that covenant sense, in that, where do you get your values? Who are you trying to please? Many of the, quote, symptoms, including feeling like a failure, occur, you might say, against the various ladders that other eyes, other values set up, and he is very low or lying on the ground in terms of what people think. Same time, fear of man never exists in a vacuum. Its flip side is pride, that just as the fear of man sets how he stands with others as the thing that forms the conscience, forms his sense of identity, at the same time, there's pride driving through this. He wants these things. He's the one that should be able to do it. His resentments and dissing of other people can express just the mere image of how he disses himself when he gets into a pity party. His immorality is a way of using people to his own ends. He's aggressive. He's hostile. He's judgmental. He has no dynamic of forgiveness. He looks at people like Bobby and he mocks them. Right? He's half jealous and he's half mocking. What a kind of sellout Bobby is to middle-class values, and how inauthentic Bobby's life is, and looking real aggressively for finding little notes of hypocrisy or looking for cracks in Bobby's marriage or looking for ways that Bobby's going to be cruising for trouble as his kids become teenagers and looking for little double life things he comes to know about Bobby that if his parents found out, then maybe Bobby wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame with his parents. So there's lots of pride and self-will and setting of his own, the haughty eyes, the way that various Psalms talk about that. Ways he, fear of man has him always looking up at people, and pride has him always looking down at people. And Jim lives in a world where because there's no God to look up to, there's no peers to look eye to eye with. You know, again, very typical human problem that, you know, you've got the pit people that your pride looks down on, the pedestal people that your fear of man looks up to, and you have no peers. You have no people with whom there is a true, joyous, well, we'll say social feeling, just to credit Alfred Adler. It's not a bad word for it, for good things. And then you might say that if these are these broad strokes themes in the fundament, in the essence of sin, that then you get the particular mosaic of desires and particular beliefs, desires and beliefs that fill in the details. And he has, I want to feel good in my own eyes. I want my parents to accept me. I want a girlfriend. I want to feel good. I want pleasure. I want to outdo my brother in some way. I want a job. I want more money. I want the guys to approve me. I want to be a success in their eyes. I want my, you know, and he'll never admit it, but I want my parents to approve me. Wouldn't it be great if when my dad's boasting about Bobby that he was equally joyful in talking about my life? I believe the standards. I believe that if I could just have a girlfriend, have good friends, get a little bit ahead in life, get a little pleasure, get a little nest egg, I believe that then things would work out and then things would be fine. And so everything that he desires it because he believes it's the source of meaning, identity, fulfillment. And all those things describe elemental Christian faith 101. They describe the moral covenantal dislocation of Bobby's life. And you see how the phenomena that get tagged in the low self-esteem construct in just a very straightforward way express basic themes of how human beings work that the living God reveals.
Did you know that this class is offered in a distance education format? For information on how you can be a part of the class in the convenience of your own home or ministry, visit us on the web at ccef.org.